Welcome back to the lab. I am your host, Brad Barton. Well, this show had its first episode come out in June 13th, 2017. It's September 8th, and this is episode 50. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Brad. I'd like to thank the Academy and my friends and family. Okay. Obviously, it took me some work to arrange for the applause, but in my defense, that was applause I got for a speech I gave in 2014, 2015, I forget. So I did actually earn that applause, if not for this show. To celebrate episode 50, let's talk about balloons. This actually started because of the research I was doing for episode 37, The Sound of the Big Bang. One of the sources of the data that John G. Kramer used in order to produce The Sound of the Big Bang was the boomerang experiment. This was a very sensitive microwave detector that was lifted to about 62,000 feet by a high-altitude balloon released in Antarctica. It circled around following the polar vortex winds and came back to roughly its starting place in about 10 days. Circling back is the reason they decided to call it boomerang. They got a fancy acronym or abbreviation, whatever you want to call it. That got me interested in the subject of balloons in general, and I did what I always do when I'm interested in a subject. I looked it up. Found some interesting stuff. I've got some links on the show page to some of the things I found, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. There was an altitude record set, and at the same time, an altitude record for a skydive in the 1960s. I've got an article and a YouTube video on the show page, along with a more recent such mission attempt done in, I forget when, but that was at 128,000 feet. Also have articles and a video for that. But while I was poking around, I got to wondering why it took so long for manned flight to take place. The first recorded manned flight of a hot air balloon was in 1783, a couple of brothers from France who were running the family papermaking business. But on the other hand, sky lanterns, usually made from rice paper and bamboo and powered by burning wax, there's evidence that they were around as early as 300 BC. Took 2,000 years before someone finally went, hey, let's make a bigger one and see if we can lift us. I got the wondering, could a Stone Age level of technology actually give you manned flight? There's a feature in the Chilean desert called the Nazca Lines, where people had removed the topsoil and rocks to reveal the lighter colored soil underneath, made geometric figures and little figures like monkeys and other animals, hummingbirds and such. And when I say little, that's a misnomer. They were big. They still are big. In fact, they're too big to be recognized except from the air. There's all sorts of theories about maybe these being alien runways or signals to the gods or what have you. But a couple of people got to wondering, were they looking at this from above in a hot air balloon? There's very little evidence for that. In 1783, or shortly after the 1783 flight, there was a sudden explosion of balloon images inlaid in furniture, painted in frescoes, what have you. You would expect that any culture that had hot air flight would also have a lot of depictions of it, and we don't see much of that. But they give it a try. They use technology that was available to the Nazca culture, who were able to produce pretty elaborate tapestries. It was well within their capability to make the envelope. And they held the envelope that they made over a fire put in a trench. And they put it in a trench because they needed to collect the hot air without the sparks reaching the cotton envelope. And they found out that the kind of smoke actually matters. They threw meat on the fire to get nice, oily, greasy smoke so that the soot would collect on the inside of the envelope and seal it so it could hold the hot air and provide enough lift to pick up the two experimenters. And it worked. I have a couple of articles on that experiment, also on the show page. So, 2,000 years. That's how long it took before someone finally did this. And it was apparently possible for any culture with a decent loom and fire. Why did it take so long? If the ability was lying around all that time without anybody touching it, what is lying around right now? Obvious, once discovered, that could let us do who knows what. I'll leave you to ponder that. For now, I'm going to crack open a couple of beers, and I'll see you next week.